Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
All right. Hello, friends. Happy Grammy night. I hope you all have your sound turned down and you're listening to the Music Row Show. Welcome, welcome. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thank you so much for tuning in. As you might know by now, this show is for all you songwriters and musicians and performers out there who are just trying to figure out how to make things happen here in Music City.
That's right. Now, we don't have any answers except for somebody was eating here. It's actually sticky right here.
Oh, well.
I'm sorry.
It's those weekday guys.
I guess. We don't have any answers. We're out there slinging songs during the day just like y'all are. But we are able to find the right people, bring them into the studio and pick their brains and let them answer your questions as well.
That's right.
Right. Do we have a Facebook thing going on?
We do, actually. You can hit us up on Facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow, or you can hit us up on Twitter, of course, at TheMusicRowShow. Hashtag TMRS.
See, now this means hurry. And so I didn't understand what your sign language was right
okay,
there.
Okay, gotcha.
That means hurry.
Gotcha. Okay.
We'll work out some more sign language later.
We'll do that.
Hey, we got a big show for you tonight. Christy Osmondson and John Stone, a.k.a. that means also known as.
Thank you.
American Young are with us right now.
That is true. And then in the next hour, we got Americana artist Mary Gaucher going to be joining us. That's going to be really cool.
That's right. Hey, what's going on tomorrow night? You know, it's Monday night. It's going to be cold. If only there was something cool going on.
Yeah, what could be? And close by, like in Gallatin, maybe.
Oh, it's right around the corner from me, anyway.
From you.
Yeah, I love it. That's why I set it up. Hey, it's Music Row Show Monday. We do it the last Monday of every month, and we're going to be at the Whippoorwill. And this week we have, or this month, our guest is Chris Gantry.
Yes, he was just profiled on the cover of Nashville Scene, what, about a week ago.
And he's been profiled by Nashville Police several times in the last couple of
years. Many times after
that,
yeah.
But he's going to be there, and it's just us, and we play some songs, and Chris plays songs.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. The food over there is killer.
Yeah, I've mentioned this before. I have a friend who's a chef, and he came out and saw us one time and was just raving about the food. So, you know, if it can impress a chef, then you're doing pretty well.
Right. So come check us out. It's whippoorwillgallatin.com. Is that the website?
Thewhippoorwillgallatin.com.
The Whippoorwill Gallatin.
Yeah, got to put that the in there.
Okay.
And then you got to figure out how to spell Whippoorwill.
Whippoorwill. Yes.
You're so good. All right, Scott, why don't you introduce our guest here this hour?
You know, I'm very excited about this one, especially to have both of them here. Christy joined us a few years ago with Larry Gatlin, and we've been following her closely ever since as a songwriter and former member of Bombshell. And of course, she had the Cheater was a nice little hit for Joey and Rory. Great song, by the way. John has written a bunch of big old hits. He's written for Rascal Flatts and Lee Bryce, to name a couple. And you're one of those guys that we've written your name down a whole bunch of times. It's like, okay, we gotta book him. So imagine my surprise when I realized that they have teamed up to hit the road as American Young. Great band, just really, really cool songs. And it just worked out nicely because here we've been wanting to get them on separately, and it's a beautiful thing. So we're excited. John, nice to meet you. Christy, welcome back. And we're glad you're here on the Music Row Show.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Very nice. So as Scott was alluding to in the intro there, you guys have great songwriting careers going already. You had a recording career going already when you were with Bombshell. So what brought you together? How did you find each other? What was the big brainchild for doing American Young?
Well, John had written a song called A Woman Like You for Lee Bryce, our good friend, and he co-produced that record with Lee, who is right now at the Grammys, and we're awaiting to hear the results. What's he up for?
I think he's up for Best Country Song and Best Male Performance, I believe.
Gosh. Best? Okay.
So he's so good. So. Anyways, they had just had a number one for A Woman Like You, and there was kind of an impromptu little party down at, you know, on De Mumbrian. Mm-hmm. And John and Jared Neiman and Lee Bryce were all kind of just jamming, and I kind of bummed a co-write from John, and he hasn't gotten rid of me since.
Nice. Bummed a co-write.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who wouldn't from John Stone?
Sure.
Right.
For what it's worth, somebody just put on Facebook, Pops finally won a Grammy. I don't know if he goes by Pops when he's not on the radio, but
I can't imagine.
Somebody named like Pops just won a Grammy, so there we go.
Man, the red carpet was so interesting to watch Ryan Seacrest look at one of the artists and be like, hey, what exactly is on your teeth? And he's like, it's a girl. And that's how he responded. It's a girl. It was just that's full funny. Of diamonds.
Nice. I got to get me one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
I don't. No, I don't. Yeah, you
do. You look good rocking a girl.
My kids would love it. Yeah.
Yeah. In the minivan, tiny. You know.
Like yeah. Driving the caravan down.
Imagine a redneck like grill. It'd be like little tiny banjos and fiddles.
That's a great idea.
I love it.
You said red.
John, you might know redneck if you have a tattoo like this is beer on your bottom teeth. Lip. No, he has one on his bottom lip.
Are you kidding me?
Look at that.
Yeah. He was a bull rider for a long time.
He really does, you guys. He really does.
Holy wow.
Saying insert here.
That's I mean, that has to be a whole nother level of pain.
It was pretty painful what I remember.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you remember? Was it one of those nights or
it was one of those nights.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. So John, you and I and we started talking about this before the show, but we're both Lane County, Oregon boys.
That's right.
We grew up kind of in the same area.
Wait, where are you from?
I went to Springfield High School. Right across the river from Eugene. That's and cool. And then lived in Portland when he lived Lake Oswego area.
My dad lives there right now. Hey, Dad. I think he's listening right now.
Thank you for Burgerville, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Right?
My stepmom makes all the garden burgers there, the veggie burgers.
That's something I haven't tried. Sorry.
Yeah. But, anything veggie, yeah, really.
I think I ate, we stopped there with our regional when we were up there, and I think I ate 3 triple cheeseburgers.
Yeah. It was a beautiful thing.
It was glorious. Burgerville, the Burgerville on Carmen Drive right there.
Yep. Used to go there.
For those of you who don't know what Burgerville is, if you're listening outside of Portland, it's this chain of fast food restaurants that are all based on a local organic.
Not organic.
They have probably not organic.
Not organic. Yeah.
But they're just
the grease is organic.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the food is very local and it's so good and it's healthy. I think it's
As far as burgers go, I mean, does it go down to Albany? Albany as far down as Albany?
I think so.
And then it goes up north a little bit.
And they make blackberry milkshakes. Wow. They're all local.
Yeah, and those are all local and really good.
Wow. My stepmom is putting a line of hemp burgers in there.
Of course.
They make a good pot roast too, right?
Yeah. Oh, see what he did there? Hey, this hour brought to you by In-N-Out Burger, by the way.
No. You're listening to Food Talk with American
Guns. You can eat them while watching the Super Bowl.
So you're in Lane County, you're in Oregon, and then you're in Portland. What were you doing musically before you decided to load up the Subaru? I'm guessing Subaru because everybody drove a Subaru.
Really?
That was me.
Okay. Yeah. We were talking about patchouli oil earlier, too.
No, he was in a truck. I had the Subaru.
Anybody that has beer tattooed to the inside
probably
lower
didn't
lip,
drive a Subaru.
I think I already should have known it drove a truck.
That's funny. What was I doing musically?
Yeah.
Well, I was kind of trying to find my feet, and I was listening to records. I got into, people like Dan Fogelberg, and Cat Stevens, people like that prior to coming to Nashville as a songwriter. And I thought that I didn't really know, we didn't have, the Grand Ole Opry or WSM up there.
Right. Okay.
We just didn't get it. So I was not really introduced to Southern music at all before I came here. I listened to like cowboy music, Chris LeDoux, Ian Tyson, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I, that was my only, if you would have seen pictures of me when I came here, it was tragic.
No, because they were actually, at the time, those Brooks and Dunn shirts worked.
lots of
flames.
But he
was a bull rider, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That works. The big Garth Brooks print.
I rode awful. Barrels. I mean, nice. I dated guys that actually would iron their jeans.
I did.
Yeah, okay.
Starts
you.
Wait,
they can
stand up. You got to put that stay flow on them.
That's right.
Yeah, I thought, that being, the home of country music and everything, that I'd be, I didn't know what I thought, but so I pulled in, I don't know what I thought, but thinking I would be pulling into a metropolitan city was not on my mind. right, yeah. at all. So
you're thinking it's going to be a little cow town or something, right?
Yeah, I didn't know what it was going to be. I was like, home of country music, you know, all these guys sound like, you know, cowboys, you right. know, like where I'm from. And I thought it was going to be like that, I guess. But so I was, you know, I was writing some songs, and I had gotten into some commercial country music, you know, some early Chesney stuff, and I was a huge Garth fan, mm-hmm. you know, who wasn't, but I was really into some of the singer-songwriter stuff. I grew up on classic rock and some other rock stuff, and I really, you know, I got really interested in how these songs were written and how they conveyed emotion, you know, that I couldn't do, and I wanted right. to be able to do that. So I moved here with a handful of songs that were awful, but I thought they were the greatest thing in the world. I thought everybody would be waiting for me.
Everybody thinks that when they come
yeah,
here.
They weren't right. waiting for me.
You're not the first to say that.
I remember that I was at the first person I ever met when I came here was Trent Tomlinson, and it was at the Hall of Fame Lounge in 1999. And he was hosting an open mic writer's night, and I was like, I'm going to blow some socks off. So
like, here we go.
So I go there, and I was like, hey, You're buddy. Welcome. I was like, yeah. I was like, hey, buddy, I'm here. I got my guitar. What time do I play? And he was like, oh, hey, man. He was really, really nice. And, you know, he was like, well, you know, you play after, you know, this guy I play now. So I got up and played these two songs that were just awful. And I was like, man, pretty good, huh? And he was like, yeah, man. And then he sat down and played a song called Walk on Water.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I got a job the next day.
Yeah. He said, forget it.
I was just blown away. I was like, oh, my gosh, if that song's not on the radio, then I have a long way to go, a long, long way to go. Because, you know, you think that the best songs in the town are what's on the radio. And yeah. that's not the case sometimes. Right. Yeah. You know, there's great songs floating around there, you know, that are just around this town that are just –
Silly.
Mm-hmm. You know, some of Chris Wallen stuff, you know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Amazing. Anthony Smith stuff is amazing. You know, our buddy's Billy Montana, you know, has got some songs that are just, I mean, yeah. amazing. Amazing.
That is crazy. Yeah. Now, I understand through the grapevine that you're kind of a perfectionist with things. And I'm just wondering how that plays into your songwriting. How do you, how does that play out that way?
Well,
that's why he has me to.
Uh-huh. Like, I was about to say, we should ask Christy how that plays into his
songwriting. You're the opposite of perfectionist. Is that what you kind of loosen him up a little?
That's right. That's why we're good at what we do.
Okay. Yeah, I think that, you know, as a songwriter, you know, I have to really, I've honed my editing skills, I think, more than anything. You know, we all have great ideas. Yeah. It's a matter of how logistically you make those ideas work and the charisma that you put in a lyric to me. So my editing skills over the years I've tried to hone those more than anything. But now it's like Jim Collins told me a story one time when they were, when he was accepting an award for The Good Stuff, mm-hmm. He was walking up to get his award and they were playing the song and he was thinking, God, I really could have made that second verse just a little better as he was receiving his number one award. Right. So I feel the same way too, but I just realized there's a stopping point more of anything. There's not really an end
right.
to it. You know, I mean, I think about it now that I hear songs on the radio that I've had that I'm like, ah, you know, that could have been just a little better, but you know,
what do you mean by putting charisma into a line? I've never heard anybody say that before.
Well, you know, I think, The things that I gravitate towards lyrically are, you know, I remember, like, Tom Douglas is a perfect example
of it.
Yeah. You know, Tom has a poetic feel that is, his lyrics are so poetic, but literal.
Or conversational.
Yes. Yeah. So it's when I think the right group of words get together, they make you feel something. And that charisma that a performer has on stage, you know, comes from, you know, the charisma that comes from the lyric, you know, mm-hmm. that hopefully if people really pay attention enough, they try to capture that charisma on a record. And that's probably the hardest thing to do to
mm-hmm.
me, you know?
Okay. Now, Christy, talk about your first year in Nashville, and because you were playing on Broadway, right?
Yeah.
And talk about what kind of education that is for people that haven't been here before.
Well, so I moved here four months before I turned 21. I visited, definitely. The very first visit I had was before I turned 21. So I remember I couldn't get in the bars, and I was standing outside of Tootsie's just like mesmerized that, you know, someone would say random song X and the whole band would immediately know it and just like do it what I thought at the time was flawlessly. I mean, I thought if you could do that, that was just amazing. So I just remember thinking like, gosh, I'd never be that good where I'd know that many songs. And it's funny because, you know, it was early musicians, session players that actually really helped, I think, shape my way of thinking. And it was Joe Spivey and watching, you know, Yudkin. And finally one day I got up the courage. I was like, I called Jonathan. And I was like, please, can I just take you to lunch and like just pick your brains on how do you do this? How do you ever get to play that good? Or but then not just that good, like that you're so specifically unique, you know, that you have that sound that when like Rob Hajakis plays a fiddle line, you know it's Rob.
Right.
Or, you know, anyways, and so he said to me, he said, kid, you just gotta have two things. You gotta have the, you know, you gotta have the confidence to know it's in there and then the patience to let it come out. He's like, you'll get it. Give it 10 years. I'm like, oh, God.
Is that all?
Is that all? But, you know, I think enough. That my first summer I was here, I went off to a, I toured with a girl band and we were playing 6 hours. It was four or six hour sets a night at these, you know, at these awesome, amazing clubs all over the world. And that would definitely taught me really fast. I realized, you know, the 10,000 hour rule of anything is, you know, so, and then I didn't think that necessarily I could have, I mean, I didn't think I'd ever have a song in me that like was comparable to The Dance or something, you know, you just always want to write that one song that you're like, okay, now I'm a songwriter, you know,
until you write that song and then you want to write another one.
Then you're going, I could have done that better.
Exactly. It's crazy. But I remember I got my first publishing deal and I just couldn't even fathom the fact that I was, you know, I got paid however little it was to go in every day and write songs and then demo them and, you know, just literally sit across from the most amazing people I've ever conceived of having conversations with. So I think that my first year as a writer was just getting over my nerves and learning how, like, thank God for Bob Regan, who's, again, listening tonight.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hi,
Bob.
But just to have writers like that that would, I wouldn't research who I was writing with that day, so I wasn't nervous, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I just immediately, you put an idea out there and you're like, oh, stupid, it's so bad, I know. But I had really patient co-writers that just, you know, we, you know, put in a lot of time and hours and learning how to, you know, write to a hook and craft, craft thought into something, like John said, that inspires and evokes an emotion and match the musical content with it. And I mean, I don't think you're ever finished with this. It's like, we'll be 98 years old being like, oh, man, I should have rewritten that verse.
Welcome to American Young.
Yeah, right?
Hey, we got to take a break. We're going to be back with much more with American Young, John Stone, Christy Osmondson. You're listening to The Music Row Show. Stick around.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are here with American Young. That's John Stone and Christy Osmondson. And that's their very first single called Love is War, which is on their brand new project that just came out.
Now, I know that this song is available on iTunes right now.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Is the CD available yet?
No, our EP is only available on AmericanYoung.com.
All right.
And live in person if you find us.
AmericanYoung.com, and it's a self-titled EP.
Yep.
And you guys are going to do a song for us.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is like, can we do Love is War?
Yeah. Sure, absolutely.
This is Love is War. Three.
Young lovers in a picture frame. Ever notice how there ain't no rain? Nobody hangs hard times on the wall. You won't see it in an 8x10, but There's a storm every now and then, a slamming door down the hall. And sometimes a laugh is a white flag. Sometimes a laugh is standing tall. Sometimes a laugh is a feather. Sometimes a cannonball.
But it's worth fighting for.
Yeah, it's worth fighting for. Baby, sometimes the love is war. An old couple on a front porch swing, on a walk down memory lane, been through the fire and back again. Through the clear and the cloudy skies, still loving each other's eyes. Sometimes the love is war, but sometimes you win. Sometimes the love is a white flag. Sometimes the love is standing tall. Sometimes the love is a feather. Sometimes a cannonball.
But it's worth fighting.
It's worth fighting. Baby, sometimes
love,
sometimes love is all that can save us.
Sometimes love can kill a man.
Yeah, sometimes love is a soft touch or a pistol in your hand. Sometimes love is a white flag. Sometimes love is standing tall. Sometimes love is a feather. Sometimes a cannonball.
It's worth fighting.
Yeah, it's worth fighting for. Baby, sometimes love is. Baby, sometimes love is war.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Man.
You.
Love that. Well, tell us about that song and how you came across it and all that good stuff.
Well, so, you know, we're a couple songwriters in Nashville. And the one thing I really haven't done because, you know, after realizing, I mean, just to me, writing is such a very intimate part of who I am as an artist. And
right.
So I honestly hadn't really spent a lot of time listening to outside cuts and like listening to other, you know, songwriters' pieces. And John, when we first started writing together, he goes, you need to go listen to some, take some listening meetings and just hear what other people are doing. And it might inspire you, or it might, you might hear a song that you go, wow, I could have never written that, you know, and then that is the reason to cut a song. And first song I hear was Love is War. I was like, that's the song of the year, or at least in my world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just such a, I just love that song. And so John was actually writing with Billy Montana, one of the writers on that song, that day.
Mm-hmm.
And took it over there. I'm like, oh, listen to this. And Billy's sitting there. He's like, yeah, I like that one.
That's good. There's something about that.
Yeah.
First off, what tremendous advice that is right there is to have listening meetings. Because I think that so many people come to town and just start going. And I think there's so much to be learned just from hanging back a little bit.
Well, I think that, you know, we live in, as far as I know, the only community where we have a community of solely songwriters, people
mm-hmm.
who write songs that, you know, are not performers, you know.
Right.
I mean, a lot of them are, but, you know, there are a lot that aren't, you know, are players, or they're just great songsmiths. So I think that, you know, as an artist, being a songwriter, I think to me is a piece of the puzzle. It's not the entire puzzle. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Like if I have access to my songs, you know, and access to your songs too, I want to listen to all of them, you know?
Right.
I think that
you don't want to listen to ours.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, as a songwriter, I know as me at least, I, you know, there are times when I think that I, you know, rung the bell. And there are times that, you know, I don't. But I think in Nashville, every day, somebody rings the bell. And I
yeah.
want to hear those songs. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So,
Wow. Well, I'm just curious, how does your approach to writing a song differ when you're the artist who's going to be potentially singing that song?
Well, I mean, you know, I learned this from Lee Bryce. We've been buddies for a long, long time. We've been writing songs and had a bunch of success, you know, outside cuts, and he's had a bunch of success with outside
right.
hits, mm-hmm. you know, and I think if you go in, you know, without, I guess you can't, for me, you can't really be attached to the outcome, as Christy's mother says, is that you just have to go in there and just, you know, just write a great song. You know, a great song will always find its place, whether it's you or another artist. You know, I mean, I write songs all the time that I think are hit songs that don't fit our project, you know, that, so it's just, there are songs, you know, that we will write that will fit our project, you know, but I don't think that we go in there with a motive, because I think then it kind of, it's restrictive a little.
Right.
And I was wondering if there was an intent, because I've heard in other interviews, you guys really talk about the American Young sound and how it's a, there's something really unique about it. And so I was wondering if you intentionally go in saying, okay, let's write for us today. You just write, and if it works out, then that's.
I mean, the thing to me, the thing that we do that's uniquely identifiable is the way we record our records and, mm-hmm. and what we do vocally. You know, we sing a lot in octaves, and it's strange, because the first time we did it was on Paolo Nutini. Was it Paolo Nutini?
Yeah.
It was a Paolo Nutini song called Last Request. And it's just a song that we worked up. And it was like, when we heard that on tape, it was, I don't know, it was really special. I mean, it's talking about being a perfectionist when we're making records, literally, it's like, if there's a half a dB vocally, you can hear it. Like, there's such a sweet spot where we sit on a record together when mm-hmm. we sing in octaves that half a dB could be it.
You mean in relation to each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I was going to mention that, because as you were doing it in this song, you know, people always talk about harmonies and, oh, they harmonize so great. But to sing in unison, just an octave is actually, I think, a lot harder, and you have to really be tuned into each other.
Well, I'll tell you this. The great thing about singing with Christy and working with Christy is that she listens. And a lot of people, I think, don't listen enough, like we were talking about earlier. When we sing together, we listen to each other sing, and mm-hmm. It's wonderful. That's why I think that's what makes us us. You know?
Very cool. Neither of you are newbies to the music biz. I mean, you've had your roads as an artist, as a writer, as a producer. You've done the whole thing with a different band, mm-hmm. and actually, it sounds like a few, actually, but... Mm-hmm. What lessons learned have been a positive resource now as you guys are heading into this adventure?
I think the way I identify and or work through my own insecurities and fears, I think that's just been a evolution, and mm-hmm. You know, not being quite as critical on myself and as I may have spent the last lifetime doing. You know what I mean? Where like, I think the good art is, it starts to become almost like a reflex, you know, when you start making as much music as hopefully, you know, we do, it's more instinctual, and you work into that kind of reflexive, just responses and emotional responses to each other and to mm-hmm. your environment. And I think for me, it's just, you know, like John said, the one thing I had, not really done very well was like, listen. I'd come to town wanting so hard, you know, to be heard, right. you know? And then what I realized is I learned a lot faster. I learned a lot more about myself when I just sat back and kind of learned how to take good advice and listen to other people and hear myself a little bit better, hear my own emotional content. Did that even answer any part about what?
Yeah, sure.
I think,
yeah, and I think that, you know, I think that, you know, we come from exact opposites. You know, she comes from a performing world and a musician world, and immediately she's been on the road for like 9 years.
Right.
And I've been in town, I mean, you know, writing songs professionally for 14. So I never did the road thing. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until like, a year ago? And I'm so glad I did it at this age, because I just, it's a completely different world. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, it's the most egotistical thing in the world.
It's really funny. The first radio visit we had, and we're walking in, I had all our 8x10s, you know, to come in to sign. And John's
like, what are you going to do with those?
Like, you give them to people and you sign autographs. He's like, so wait a minute. these people don't want to be in the picture. They just want pictures of us. Like, how diva is that?
Like, so, yeah,
welcome to the artist world.
It's a little crazy, you know? And so I'm getting used to it. But, you know, I think that the younger me would have believed the smoke and lights a little, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I completely failed as an artist in my younger years.
Understood. Well, should we take a break?
Absolutely.
Okay. We got lots more here with American Young, Christy Osmundson, and John Stone. You're listening to the Music Row Show. We'll be right back.
Swinging from the mirror every morning as I sat in the back. Mama drove that beat up blazer through the woods and over those railroad tracks.
Oh, yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's American Young off their brand new EP. That's a tune called God Sends a Train.
Yeah, that's what it looks like right there. Available by going to americanyoung.com.
Or itunes.com if you want to find their latest single, which is Love is War.
Oh, that was pretty. I like that. I'm not going to try to do it, but I'd end up hiccuping.
I know, right?
Oh, see? I don't want to do that.
Very nice.
Every singer's nightmare happened last night. I was on stage, and I was singing our single, and I was like, sometimes love. Oh,
I don't know. It's a cool song, but I don't get the lyrics.
Sounds like Cranberries.
Like, have another, Yelush.
Well, you guys feel like doing another tune for us?
Sure. All right. Want us to do we'll finish to a train song.
I love that song. Oh, yeah. It's a great song.
All right.
This song is John and I were having early conversations about this record, and he was really pushing me as a writer to dig a little deeper and write something honest.
Well, let's be honest. When we started to make this record, you know, Christy, it came from, you know, up-tempo Happy Land, which is awesome, you know, which is completely awesome. And I love that. But so all these songs were like really happy, radio candy. And I was like, you know what? They're really good, but I need you to, I mean, there was nothing that was identifiable about any of them.
Right.
So I was like, you know, go and write something that I can't write or that nobody in this town could write, you know, and she did.
So this is a story about my mother. And yeah, I grew up in a small town in North Idaho, and my parents had gotten divorced when I was 7, and my mom had married my stepdad was he was a kind of a survivalist, and there was quite a bit of, it was a really unhealthy marriage. And so all of us kids had been and moved out of the house, and I was very angry at my mother for staying with, you know, picking her husband instead of her kids. And so I hadn't spoken to her in about 4 years, and I get a call. I was sitting in history class in high school, and he said, your mother's been hit by a train. And so and it was just kind of, I mean, driving to the hospital, kind of realizing that was probably the end of that. And I was just, you know, having not spoken to her, it was like a big wake-up call, you know, for me and my family. And so sometimes God whispers, and in our case, he sent a train. So this is the train song. I'd watch that little glass angel swinging from the mirror every morning as I sat in the back. Mama drove that beat up blazer through the woods and over those railroad tracks. We didn't get much to eat at home, at school, maybe nothing at all. When you're a kid at 12 years old, you think it's all your fault. Mom had lost my dad in her mind and married a crazy man. He beat us with a Bible while preaching survival and waiting for the world to end. In that creepy cold house off the grid by the tracks at the end of the road, we got good at keeping secrets, Mom, and no one wanted to know.
Sometimes God sends a whisper, carried in on the rain. And when we don't want to listen, sometimes God sends a train. School history class, a chill ran down my back. When they called my name on the intercom, I already knew it was bad. They said her blazer was in pieces out there on those railroad tracks. As I went to see what was left of her, I wondered, would this bring her back? Sometimes God sends a whisper. Said she'd never walk again, but that first step she took was straight down to the courthouse. She got rid of his ass for good. One day we got a visitor, it was a train engineer. And he told us, kids, well, there must be a good reason your mom's still here. He said, ma'am, I found this on that day, stuck to the front of my train. He handed my mom a glass angel with a broken wing. Sometimes God sends a whisper.
About that. All right. Wow. That was amazing. We need to take one last break. We're going to be back with more of American Young right here on the Music Row Show. Stick around. Show. We're on with recording artist American Young, and that is a tune called Soldier's Wife off of their very latest project that just came out. So nice, so nice.
Very nice.
Okay, now, if you want to buy this EP, and you absolutely should, go to AmericanYoung.com. Either buy it right off their website or go look at their tour schedule and find out when you can go see them, and they'd be happy to sell one to you. And I bet they might even have an 8x10.
They might.
And also, their single, their first single, Love is War, is available on iTunes right now. And you should all, I think there's a commercial on the Grammy. So everybody should go right now to iTunes and download this single right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you guys.
So, John, for you, what's been the biggest adjustment, you know, going from full-time writer to the recording artist side? You mentioned the 8x10 thing was kind of a thing, but what else?
Well, you know, not being in Nashville, I mean, it's crazy because for the last 14 years that I've been here And I've created, you know, a network of friends and close friends. And, you know, the hardest thing in the world over the years have been like all my friends that are artists aren't here anymore. So it was like me and Jared and like Luke Bryan and Jamie Johnson and Eric Church. We were all best friends like for years before the music business.
Well, you and Eric worked together at what, Home Shopping
Network?
Yeah, I
hired them at Shop at Home Network years ago. And, you know, we wrote 50 songs together back then. You know, we write all the time. And then, you know, he got a publishing deal. I got a publishing deal. You know, I got a record deal. He got a record deal. And then he took off and now I never see him again. You know, he also got married. But it's
that's
you know,
what it is.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like, you know, it's like Luke and, you know, Jamie, Jared's a big one because, you know, Jared and I were really, really close and we are really, really, really close now.
And we played this show with him on Tuesday and I heard some stories that I don't even know what to say. Jared was telling me, he's like, hey, did John ever tell you about the bonfire we started in his backyard? I go, no. And he's like, well, you know, we were downtown. We may have had a few girls with us and we're going back to John's house. And he's like, let's build a bonfire. But
it was 80 degrees outside.
Perfect. That's
but
not a fire hazard.
Downtown. And he's like, John goes, well, we don't have any wood. Jerry says, I don't have any wood. And John's like, well, we have furniture.
So we burned my furniture.
No. Excellent. Excellent. Again, I think, can we attribute that to the tattoo on the underside of your lip?
Man, that was crazy. We have some crazy stories. Jared was talking about, he said some funny stuff this weekend. He was talking about getting his first big check because he wrote, his first big hit was Good Ride Cowboy for Garth Brooks that he wrote with Garth. And he was talking about getting his first check and you know how he spent it all and he got a call. He was like, you got to pay taxes out there. And all he could think about was, I'm going to let the future me deal with that.
Brilliant.
I was like, that is brilliant.
Some advice right there.
Oh, that's fantastic. So real quick, you guys, we only have a few more minutes. What's the difference? I've heard y'all talking about this in the past. What's the difference between wanting to be a star and wanting to be an artist, wanting to be a musician?
I think to me,
well, I mean, like John said, it's really letting go of the outcome and just making it's just the focus being on 100% on making art that for me creates the most amount of personal growth. And it's the music that I listen to a year later and it causes self-reflection. In the commercial aspect of it, I mean, honestly, I feel bad saying this, but when I started making money at Tootsie's, realizing like I could make a living as a fiddle player, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, what better job?
I mean,
you
made
have?
It. Yeah.
Yeah, you made it. So, I mean, this, we're on the radio. This is awesome.
I'll tell you, the crazy thing is though, for me, it's like, you know, when Christy approached me to do this, I had already, you know, I had a couple hits, you know, as a writer and I was producing, you know, a couple of acts that were, you know, especially Lee, you know, the Hard to Love records were gold record. I have 8 songs on it and I produced a lot, you know, co-produced the record. So it was like, at that point I was like, oh wow, you know, maybe it's just not God's plan for me to be an artist, which is fine, you know, cause I never did it to be famous or to get rich. I just did it because I felt like, well, if nobody's going to sing my songs then I have to, because I think that I really had something to say, you know, I was never interested in just being famous. You know, I grew up listening to like Bill Withers and, you know, all of his stuff and all of his just lyrically, he was just phenomenal. So I really got into that.
Awesome. Love Bill Withers. Well, thank you so much for
thank
coming and
guys.
Hanging out with us. It's been awesome.
Nice. Very cool.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
AmericanYoung.com. Go check out that website. Go check out their music. It's great. You're going
to
love it.
If you're in Oregon, go to Burgerville.
Yep. Yeah.
Get a veggie burger and then send me a regular burger.
Send me about 50.
And even after that, stick around because we got another great hour with Mary Gaucher here on the Music Row Show. Come on back.